Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of John. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're studying the Gospel according to John. We call it the Gospel of John, or simply John. It is the fourth in the series of Gospels that are presented in the beginning portion of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here in the Gospel of John, we've come to verse 14 and are ready to continue. This is in chapter 1, and I want to go back to verse 14. This is the incarnation verse, the verse that teaches us the miracle of God the Son becoming human, yet remaining God. You see, Jesus Christ was God incarnate. That means God in the flesh. He was still all God and still all man. We have a hard time trying to understand that, so it's best to accept it and to see how the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, teaches us as we study God's Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Some early manuscripts would have us read the only begotten God, where it reads the only begotten of the Father here in the King James. This Logos, this Word, which is mentioned there in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Here we see the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled in the flesh, and lived among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's explore truth for just a moment. Truth, that means the absolute fact. Truth means there is no veering from one area or another when we're considering the facts, but it is taking the facts as they are. Truth is always able to be proven. Truth is provable fact, if you will. Fact is fact. And to say it's provable fact, I guess, goes beyond the fact of fact. But that's what truth is. Truth is the uncompromised, absolute, correct statement of fact. And we know that God Himself is truth, and we know that Christ Himself said He was the truth. And then let's take a look at grace for just a moment. Grace, according to Titus 3, 4, and 5, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It is therefore constantly set in contrast to law, under which God demands righteousness from man, as under grace He gives righteousness to man. Law is connected with Moses and works. Grace is connected with Christ and faith. The law blesses the good. Grace saves the bad. Law demands that blessings be earned. Grace is a free gift from Almighty God. According to Scofield, grace has a twofold manifestation. First, in salvation, we find that in Romans 3:24, and in the walk and service of the saved, we find that in Romans 6:15. The divine essence, God Himself, in His own triune person, no one has ever seen, but we have, that is, the authors here, John and other gospel writers, saw Christ. They saw God in the flesh. Often I think that we who live in this modern age feel that perhaps we've missed something by not having lived in the time of Christ. I can assure you that we are here at the proper time, as God has ordained it for each one of us. And I can also assure you that if we had been living in the time of Christ, we would have been as limited as everyone else was in understanding the truth or even knowing that Christ existed because of the means of communication and transportation being what they were in the first century after the birth of Christ. Yes, they were modern for the time, but they were certainly somewhat outdated for our time. And yet, John writes this beautiful gospel, letting us know that Christ Himself was full of that God's riches at Christ's expense called grace, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men, not by our works of righteousness, which we have done. I think it is so important for us to understand that with Christ, we find that Christ gives righteousness to us through His grace. We do not have to achieve a plane of righteousness because we cannot achieve that plane of righteousness. We can't get to the mountaintop on our own. We must depend upon Christ Himself to put us where He wants us to be and to keep us in His care. Verse 15 of chapter 1, John, that is, John the Baptizer, bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." We know that Jesus came into the world about 6 months after John, if we look at human chronology. And you can find that story of John the Baptizer and his family, as well as the birth of Christ, in Luke chapter 1. You might go to about verse 56 or 57 to see this point. "He was before me while Jesus existed in eternity. So he had precedence over John in authority. Indeed, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And I think that refers back to what we found in verse 14, full of grace and truth. This is grace heaped upon grace. This is grace beyond measure of grace. This is grace that was found in the Old Testament multiplied. This is God's unmerited favor towards sinners for their salvation. And we had grace in the Old Testament. It's multiplied to its fullness in the New Testament because it's now experienced in Jesus Christ Himself. This is not through some atonement by animals for one period of time, but this is Jesus Christ Himself, the atonement once and for all who will come to him. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember, as we were just talking about it, indeed, the law given by Moses was for works. Grace given by Christ is associated with faith, not works. The law takes into account whether you've been good or bad, and it blesses the good and punishes the bad. But grace from Christ Jesus saves the bad. With the law that Moses gave, it's demanded that we earn our blessings. However, for those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ in this dispensation of grace, grace is a free gift, and we count our blessings one by one. Blessings have not been earned, but have been bestowed upon us, that is, given to us, because of the grace of Jesus Christ. For the law was given by Moses, writes John, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And now to verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. As I was saying, no one has ever seen God in all of his essence, since God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. The only begotten of God, or the only begotten God, seen here as the only begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, what we see is Christ declared God in all of his essence, and people have seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. Jesus Christ manifests himself, and God is seen in Christ. And then we are told, where Christ hath declared God, we are told as followers of Jesus Christ that we are to be in his image. And in Christ's image we are as well to show forth God to the people who are around us. This is the witness that was given by John. We're going to see the testimony of John the Baptizer, but it was predicated by what Christ himself had presented. This is the witness of Christ himself. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. This is important for us to understand. He was not one of those who would confess that they were the Christ, thankfully. He was on a message and a ministry and a job. A mission from Almighty God, and that was to declare who Christ really was. He certainly would not declare himself to be Christ. In fact, he confessed that he was not Christ. You see, that's part of who we have to be. We have to understand that we're not Christ. You say, well, that's very simple. I know I'm not. Well, it may be simple to understand that we are not Christ. I can assure you I'm not Christ. I am a follower of Christ. But sometimes we act as if we are God. The way we judge people, or the way we judge circumstances from time to time, and we do it apart from the Word. May God keep us in His Word, so that as we judge within ourselves, that we judge righteously. And if we inspect fruit, that we would have the proper criteria for fruit inspection. And we can only find that in the Word of God. We cannot find that in ourselves. We don't have that. We don't have the capacity. We don't have the capability. And that's what I mean by it's always important for us to confess, as John did, I am not the Christ. So they asked him, and by the way, these were the leaders. These were the leaders that were sent from Jerusalem out into the wilderness, had to get a little briars and some various kinds of cockleburs or something on them as they went out into the wilderness. And they went out there to find John, and they found him, and they said, "Who are you? Who are you?" That's what people are wondering sometimes when they look at you. Who are you? Sometimes they wonder, what are you? But they're looking and saying, who are you? He says, I'm not the Christ. So they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? They were not interested necessarily in knowing who John the Baptizer was, except for the fact that they had been commissioned, sent, to go find out and to go back to their masters and to tell them. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He did not say, I am John, I am the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, I am the son of their old age, I am a miracle child, I had a wonderful childhood, I grew up in such a wonderful way. He didn't say that. He didn't go into anything about himself at all. What he said was, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And we would find that in Isaiah 40, verse 3, if you want to look it up. He did not say, I am a Jew of Jews. He did not say, I am of the line of priests, which he was. He did not say, I am a prophet. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He put the action of who he was upon the action of what he did. He said, you'll know me by what I do. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Notice they were not of the Sadducees. There were two parties. There were the Pharisees. They were the ultra-Orthodox. We would call them the ultra-Orthodox of the day. They were also the ones that had most of the authority, most of the power, and most of the money among the Jewish rulers. And then there were the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees believed in keeping the law to the jot and tittle, to the point that they made a mockery of the law oftentimes. But they would make sure they didn't go too far on the Sabbath day, that they tithed everything they were supposed to tithe, that they prayed at the proper times, that they did everything that they were supposed to do according to the Old Testament law, because they wanted to gain entrance into heaven with the law. Of course, we know that's impossible, but they were trying nonetheless. The other party were the Sadducees. They were the liberals, so I guess we could call the Pharisees the conservatives. The Sadducees were the liberals of the day. They did not believe, as a group, in the miracles of the Bible. They did not believe, as a group, in the things that God had said he did in the Old Testament. So they didn't really believe in the Old Testament books of Moses. They did as far as they had to, but that was as far as it went. They were so liberal that they were of no good to the common person. But they themselves, I'm sure, had wealth among them. They just did not have the same numbers and were not in the same authority level as the Pharisees. But they were part of the Sanhedrin. They were part of the ruling group of the Sanhedrin. So that was important for us to understand. There were two parties, two principal parties within the Jewish realm at that point, those of the Pharisees and those of the Sadducees. And these that came to check on John the baptizer, they were sent from the Pharisees.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.